1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. And we have a popcorn ban here at the studio radio station thing that we work at. Melissa Morgan, who works for our show, put a big bag of popcorn there in the microwave, and the stink, the stench, the utter futile stench of the endeavor wafted through the fifth floor here to the point where one of the guys came up and said, "Don't you realize the sin you've committed? No popcorn allowed here." And Melissa doesn't understand that. Well, let me explain. First of all, I don't know why they don't allow it, Melissa. I honestly don't, other than the fact that I know the boss just doesn't like it ground into the rug or something. But one of the things about popcorn that I know is prevalent, because my wife's on the popcorn kick, which, by the way, Maria's lost another 4 pounds. Now I'm worried. You know, how much do you want to lose? You're okay, honey. You're beautiful. Oh, aren't my accolades enough? In other words, when I say to you that I think that you look great, I thought you looked great when you weighed 30 pounds more. Never bothered me. Let me just say this with as much love as I can. Your ass never bothered me. It bothered you. So she loses her weight. Now she's lost another 4 pounds. Weight Watchers, if you kill my wife, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. If she turns into Stick Girl, she says to me, "I've lost another 4 pounds. I said, "Are you worried yet?" "Yes." "Stop it." "Well, I'm eating." "You're not eating. The other night we had pasta and she's there with the turkey burgers." The other night, Fat Boy, I'm sitting there with the kids and we're shoveling down pesto and pasta and, you know, getting fatter. I mean, we were eating so much that you could see us get fatter at the table. If you stared at me, you could see my face widening and my gut expanding. And she's having her turkey burger, and that, of course, is pure protein. It's pure something. I don't know what's in that. I guess turkey. I'm going to trust that it's turkey or some form of soy. And I said, "Well, that ain't eating, because that's the kind of thing that isn't going to put any weight on you." So she got on that popcorn kick, too. Wasn't popcorn supposed to be something that could help you lose weight or otherwise? I don't know what it is. But there were people eating popcorn. All of a sudden, I remember where I was working, any place that you would go to work, popcorn was everywhere all of a sudden. And those rice cakes, remember that? Remember those puffed rice cakes? That was the stuff you pack, you know, you'd pack a computer in that. You wouldn't eat that. You pack a television set in that. You would send something to your mother like a vase, and you'd throw the rice cakes in there. It's like crate packing material. Anyway, that was the big kick and the popcorn kick. And then gradually people, you know, had the butter with it. Well, you don't want to have the butter. So then it was like genetically altered butter substitute product. And finally, they finally copped to it at the movie theater. Well, we aren't putting butter on it at all. It's like yellow oil. And here I was going in there thinking that I was getting butter, and it was yellow oil. Anyway, that's why, Melissa, you can't eat that stuff, because popcorn, outside of a movie theater, it smells like decomposing cadavers. It's just wrong. But don't take it personally. He didn't outlaw popcorn because of you. He didn't get out of bed this morning and say, "Melissa's eating popcorn? Okay, that's it. You can't have any." He didn't do that, all right? He just said no popcorn. I don't know why. By the way, the National Football League, and I don't know if you guys know this, the Super Bowl is coming up on Sunday, and the NFL takes its first tentative step toward embracing the gay fan. Britney Spears and Sting will be at the halftime show. So that's great. So homosexuals now can watch the Super Bowl and know there's going to be something in it for them as well. Which, no, I understand many gay people enjoy football, but the halftime show has always left you wanting, right? Not anymore. Britney Spears and Sting. And we can hear Sting again with the acoustic version of Message in a Bottle and listen to him whine about something, I don't know what. And his tantra yoga, he can screw for 15-hour thing. Yes, something for the gays other than the sculptured butts of the players. It's the Britney Spears. Why did you write that? Keep your sophomoric thoughts to yourself, Melissa. By the way, we have a sound bite of Britney Spears cussing up a storm in the studio.
No, I found it on the internet.
You found it on the internet last night? Did you dub it off and bring it in? I would love to hear that. Dub it off and bring it in. Monday, we'll have that for you. Britney Spears swearing like a freaking sailor, swearing like a stevedore. And we'll have that for you. And also to answer the question that I asked on the air the other day, what happened to Dwayne Thomas? He was a running back for the Dallas Cowboys. He was a tremendous running back. He scored the very first touchdown ever in Texas Stadium in 1971. He was kind of a sullen sort. Dwayne Thomas, a very talented guy, wouldn't talk to the press. He wouldn't talk to anybody. I think he talked to Tom Landry and maybe Roger Staubach. Dwayne lives in California now. He lives in Southern California. He works with kids. He has, I think, a dream of returning to Texas and owning a farm, and apparently he's a really nice guy. But the reason why he wouldn't talk to the media, well, there are a lot of reasons for that. most of them good, is that he had been hosed by the agent that he had at that time. He lost all of his money to this agent, so he got screwed out of his money, and as a result, he had to take part-time jobs while he was playing football. So today, of course, you know, they make a living wage today, but living wage, today they own their own, they have their own islands. Today they're the Sultan of Brunei, but in those days these guys had to take a part-time job in the off-season. And so he was like baking pies or something, wasn't he? He was working as a running back for the Dallas Cowboys. Then in the off-season, he's cooking pies for Marie Callender's. And then he'd take some home to his family so he could feed his family. Now, this wasn't that long ago. This was the 70s. Monday Night Football, Super Bowl ratings, big money. NFL was doing revenue sharing with the television money. This was a very, very wealthy league by the 70s. This cat went from the Super Bowl, where he was busting off records and beating the Miami Dolphins and doing some of the greatest cutback running ever seen in the history of the Super Bowl, directly to his job at Coco's. You know, I'd love to talk with you guys, but Dwayne, how about that 75-yard? I got to hit Coco's, the dinner, early bird specials on, and I'm working the cash register. I'm late for my shift. What is that? No wonder people, you know, it's very sad. Anyway, it's a very interesting piece that we found here. Dwayne Thomas, if you ever want to read about this guy, you know, do it on your own time, okay? Because I'm done talking about him. But he was tremendous, and he had a great... And the Super Bowl is on Sunday, and we're having a party at my house, and it's going to be with people who like football, so we're going to invite over some friends, and we're going to sit... We're actually going to watch the game, and we're not going to chit-chat, we're not going to hobnob, we're not going to socialize, we're going to watch the football game to the bitter end. It doesn't mean you can't have a beer, and it doesn't mean that you can't numb yourself into literal unconsciousness if the game is as bad as I expect it's going to be. But we're going to watch the game. And it was between going to somebody else's house. I said, I'd rather have them throwing up on my carpet, Frank. I don't know why. I'd rather have everybody at my house. So that's what's going to happen. Are you coming over, Mike? Oh, no, you're busy again. That's right. I forgot. Is it somebody that Gretchen knows? Oh, one of your friends. Well, there's a red letter day in the Schaefer house. He's going someplace that isn't a friend of Gretchen's. All right. So that's going to be a big moment for him. Mike has two friends, and he's going to see both of them on Sunday. Say hi to your dad and grandfather for me. And big game, Baltimore, New York. It's going to suck. Anyway, I hope that hope you guys have a really good weekend. We'll be kicking off here momentarily with some very interesting information that I received concerning the Survivor TV series. And we're also going to have a visit this afternoon from Margaret Gray on the closing of Spago's. The Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And the, what? Oh. The money for our CD, $93,888. Number one rated Phil Hendry Show, Best of the Year 2000 CD, $93,888. You can order our CD or you can order the picture disc vinyl, 877-616-7445. So we're just sort of creeping along to the $100,000 mark. After Christmas dries up, people are not really in all that generous a mood. I understand that. And as I've said before, I'm probably not going to do the CD next year. It's, you know what? It's gotten, I'm being very honest now, it's become more trouble than it is fun. So I am loath to repeat the experience. We've done the CD now, counting Miami, since 1994. And every year it gets more difficult and more difficult and more difficult to promote it. And every year it gets tougher and tougher to get anybody to care. And and I'm talking about the people who are supposed to, you know, like the support staff. And every year it gets more difficult to raise money. And, you know, who needs it, man? You know, I got to take up all this time. It becomes a matter of, One of the things when you get involved with a charity is they suddenly see, the charity sees you as someone who's valuable and that you have some public exposure, so they want to use you a lot. And I don't personally want to go out and do a lot of stuff. I just want to raise the money and give it to them and let them do. I don't want to go out and do fundraisers, and I don't want to go out and do personal appearances, and I don't want to run around and do a whole lot of speaking, and I don't particularly want to be on the board of directors, and I just want to help them get the money that they need and have them do whatever they need with that money. But the hassles involved in this get more significant with each passing year. So maybe this is the last year we do it. Maybe this is the year that we go with another charity next year. I don't know. Right now, nothing against my friend's place. They're great people. But maybe we need to mix it up a little bit. Maybe we have to make a movie. Maybe we ought to have a public execution. I don't know. Anyway, you like that idea, huh? By the way, the Vatican, did you read the big news? The Vatican doesn't have the death penalty anymore. So you know the Swiss Guard won't be, like, decapitating somebody there. Some guy in one of those, have you ever seen a Swiss Guard? Do those guys wear that into battle? In other words, I said, what's the army of the Vatican? It's the Swiss Guard. Well, they have those sort of airplane pants with that conquistador helmet, and they've got an axe. They have an axe, you know. So it's still, what is this, 1253 and the Vandals are at the gates? So if the Vatican is ever invaded, guys wearing, you know, riding pants with conquistador helmets and axes will be waiting. And that's the end of the Pope. I gotta put my money on whoever's invading. I just think the Pope's dead, if that's what he's got going on. The guy with the AK-47 wins. Anyway, they're not going to, obviously they wear something, I don't know what it is, but they have the death penalty in the Vatican. They have the death penalty. Now, they've just gotten rid of it today. Now, when's the last time they had somebody put to death in the Vatican? And what is it? Is there a gas chamber someplace? So they got rid of that. All right, but getting back to my belly aching about this CD, I don't know what we'll do next year, but something's got to give with this thing, man. We ain't even selling that many anymore, are we? I give out the number every day, and I tell them how much money, and are we selling? I mean, we've been at 93,000 for 14 weeks. Anyway, the number is 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445. One of the problems, we have a lot of different affiliates. One of the things about Los Angeles, just the city that I live in, is before I got here, people told me that when it comes to L.A. and charity, this town is notoriously cheap. I don't know why. I'm not necessarily putting people down for it. It's just a cheap town when it comes to, maybe it's because they get hit up. Maybe it's because they don't want to know that there are people in need. I don't know what it is. Couldn't raise a nickel around here to save your life. So that's why we were going into this thing, swimming upstream in the first place. But whatever we do next year is going to have to take on an entirely different look. I mean, we're going to have to, really pull out the fall sweater or something, you know, try a whole new mix of colors for our summer fashion because it ain't happening, man. Anyway, the number again is 877-616-7445. Lots of money for celebrity charities. What is that supposed to mean? Pet projects. What does that mean? Pet projects people donate to. What's that? I don't know. I don't know what you guys are talking to me about. This is my pet project. So what are you talking about? What do you mean? Like, what? Who? Marlon Brando has it, so they'll give to that? Why, do I have to do a golf tournament? What are you guys talking about? Something that Melissa said? I don't know what she's talking about. Pet projects for celebrities, is that it? So they raise more money than, isn't this my pet project? I got a radio show, I'm not, what celebrities are you talking about? Nobody wants to give any money in Los Angeles because nobody wants to know that there's anything wrong with this town. They just want to sit there and exist in the belief that everything is fine. The town is cheap, you're telling me now. What are you talking about with pet projects with celebrities? What celebrities? Okay, I've asked the question 5 times, and it's a one-sided question because the audience can't hear me, but I'm having this dialogue with my producer and my other producer here. When they talk to me about pet projects, what are you talking about? Who? What celebrities? What? Give me a celebrity's name. Give me a celebrity's name. Give me a celebrity's name. Just tell me what celebrity raises a lot of money. You guys got no celebrity. I'm sorry, she says. I can't think of one right now. So in other words, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Okay? The fact of the matter is that people here don't want to give money to charities, so there you go. God, you know, either I'm going to have to put you guys on the air or something, because I can't understand what you're telling me half the time. Celebrity pet projects. Like, for instance, do we have a name of somebody or something? This is my pet project, and this is the one that I would like people to give money to. And if they don't want to, that's fine, you know. And I'm not going to do something nebulous like the Phil Hendry Charities, where you guys can just donate the money to me, and I'll decide where I put it. Because I can guarantee you right now, if you were to donate money to something called the Phil Hendry Charities, it wouldn't go to any charities. It would go to me. And I would build, like, pools and cabanas. I would buy cars. I would, all the while telling you that it's going to my favorite charities. When in point of fact, it would not be going to any one of those. All right, moving along here. Country singer Reba McEntire is going to try her hand at a sitcom. She's going to play a woman trying to hold her family together in Texas. Now, Reba McEntire's a country singer. Is this going to be on ABC? It's on the WB, okay? The WB is to today what ABC was like 20, 30 years ago. In other words, it's trying to get rolling and getting started with whatever it is they're going to put on the air. And Reba McEntire, with this sitcom on the WB, I can tell you right off the bat what kind of sitcom it's going to be. It's going to be like maybe a little bit of Alice rolled in with Jeff Foxworthy. 9'll get you 10. She's going to be a waitress. She's single. And the family she's holding out, she's got two kids. I bet you there's at least one wisecracking kid, one kid who's really a Weisenheimer that everybody is supposed to think is cute, but what you really want to do is throw the kid under the wheels of a delivery van, and she'll work some, you know, blue-collar job, pink-collar job, whatever. When somebody says to her, say, Reba, did you grow up that way? She'll say yes, and she'll get into her whole childhood when they give the interviews for how the show starts. And then she'll, you know, episode one, settling in. Maybe they'll be moving into the new house, and it'll always have a nice philosophical ending to it, giving us the whole idea as to why life is the way that it is. Maybe she'll be gathered with the kids on the sofa talking to each one, and that's the end of the show, okay? Then next week, she'll meet a guy. A guy will come into the restaurant. She'll meet a guy. She'll fall in love, maybe. I don't know. He's a traveling salesman, and he has to split town, and that's the then episode number three, and the kid's getting trouble at school, a drug problem, don't mess around with it. Maybe not. Maybe she gave him an Advil because he had a sore throat and there was a zero tolerance, which, by the way, one of our kids had a sore throat, and I swear to God, he was going to school the other morning. I said, I don't know, Al. He says, can I get an Advil? I said, I don't know if I should give it to you. He said, why? I said, don't you guys have that zero tolerance for drugs at school? And he goes, oh, come on. I said, I can't. I'm not going to be the one to do it. He goes, I got a sore throat. Give me the pill. I said, I can't do it if you guys got the zero tolerance deal, because then they're going to think I'm giving you drugs. They're going to call us up, and it's going to be a bad thing. Every time some kid goes to school with a plastic knife, they call out the freaking SWAT team because they think he's going to hold it to someone's throat. Because he's like cutting a pear with his plastic knife. Remember that? They thought it was a gang fight. I said, I will not do it. He's like, I'm dying over here. Give me the Advil or resign as my stepfather. I said, all right, okay, where are you going to put it? In my pocket. I said, nobody's going to see. Just give it to me. All right, here. You sure? I'm not going to let anybody at lunchtime all hide. You know, I'll put it in my mouth and take the water really fast. Because I'm really paranoid. Now, I know you're very paranoid. You're my stepdad. You're really paranoid. What are you afraid? People are going to, like, have you arrested for giving me dope? You dope? I said, have you ever taken six of those? No, I haven't, but thanks for telling me, stepdad. I'll try it today with a Coke. It's, by the way, I was playing touch football with the kids, and I landed, I don't know, my back was destroyed. I took six Advil, and it didn't help. 1-800-449-8686. That number again, 1-800-449-8686. You dial into the Phil Hendry Show. I did. I took six Advil, and I woke up the next morning. I felt like crap. I took it with about a pint of bourbon, but what has that got to do with it? Don't forget that number to get the Phil Hendry CD, 877-616-7445. I really mean it. I love you. Thanks for donating. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. As usual, if we get any interesting calls, we'll be sure to put them on the air. That hasn't happened in a while, has it, Mike? We got the story here anyway, as I was telling you about the kids taking the Advil to school and the zero tolerance. I don't know whether they got it or not. I ain't going to be the guy to test the policy, okay? Some kid asked me for an Advil. He ain't getting it. He ain't getting an Advil. He's not going to get a little plastic knife to cut his pear with. He ain't getting squat. You guys can take your yogurt to school and eat it with your hands. Kids say to me, you know, I don't know what goes on at the kids' school. I don't want to know. One day they got this, and the next day there's some other problem, you know, and, you know, they take their lunch to school. I said, what are you guys going to do with that? Well, we're going to take our yogurt. I said, what's that, a plastic spoon? Yeah, you can't take that. Why not? Because you might knife somebody with it. You might spoon someone's stomach, or I don't know what you're going to do. You don't get to take that to school. What are you, nuts? I'm your stepdad. Don't call me nuts. It's okay. We can take a spoon to school. You don't know. I do. You ain't taking a spoon? And what is that? It's a math book. Leave it here. Well, what are you? You going to beat somebody's head with that? I mean, I don't want you to take it. Let me tell you something. This is a news flash for a lot of you parents who think you're going to put your kid in a private school because you think it's better than a public school. You think it's a much better deal than a public school. I got a big news flash for you. Some are, some aren't. Some of these private schools are just an opportunity for the little, you know, a local mogul to have their little fiefdom and to just sort of have their, you know, their little serfdom there, where everybody, the parents and the kids, they're all a part of the little fiefdom that this squire has, and they all do the bidding of the principal and whatever it is that happens to be on that individual's mind any given day. Well, then everybody has to hop to it, man, and jump to whatever tune's being blown. And so that's what happens a lot of times in some of these schools, you know. So the kids say to me that they need this or they need. And the other thing here, I'll tell you, I think I mentioned this one time. Kids had to bring canned food to school, otherwise they couldn't vote in a school election. I said, you know what? That happens to be illegal, and I happen to know because that was part of the whole civil rights battle, paying a poll tax. You got to pay a poll tax before you can vote. You shouldn't have to pay to vote. Don't you understand? Yeah. Well, why don't you go argue with the teacher? Okay. We're bringing the canned food. Now give it. So if you want to put your kid in a private school, just remember that there's going to be a whole lot of people there who you got to answer to, and you better do what they tell you to do, or brother, you are dead. I'm not talking about some board of education you can sit there and cry your eyes out to and complain to and say that you don't like this teacher, you don't like what's being taught. You want to put your kid in a private school, you got to shut up from that point forward. I mean, shut up, friend, because your opinion don't count. I don't, and I'm not saying that it should. I'm glad the kids go to private school. I'm glad that the school says to me, just shut up and butt out. I'm glad. I need that. I need for somebody to tell me to clam it up. Not here, but out there. In here, I do what I want. Out there, somebody's got to tell me to shut up. In here, I go whatever. I step on everybody's feelings. I run roughshod over everyone's feelings. Isn't that right, Melissa? I do what I want to do. But out there, I need people to control me. And the best thing to do is send the kids to a private school where if I call up and I say, I don't like the curriculum, good, get your kid out of the school. Well, I didn't mean that. That's good. That's fine. That's why you put them in a private school. So all of this stuff about people, oh, you know, the public schools suck. We're taking our kids out of the public school. We're putting them in a private school. Fine. Would you put your kid in a private school? Keep your big fat nose out of it. Pay the money and shut up. And some of these private schools, it doesn't necessarily mean because you're paying big dollars your kid's going to learn anything, Charlie. It means that you're paying the big money to put your kid in that school because there was something about it that attracted you to the school. Maybe they had really cool-looking cheerleaders. Maybe they got color TV sets in every classroom. Maybe they got the really neat-looking lab stuff. I don't know, you know. Maybe they got great-looking teachers. Maybe they have interactive video. The students really dig the cafe. The food's great at lunchtime. You know, this is America. We don't necessarily go for quality. We go for the thing that is the flashiest, the thing that, that draws our attention. And we're like a kid in a candy store, right? There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's the maturity level of this country right now. That's the way we are as people. Whatever is flashing the brightest, whatever's making the loudest music, whatever looks the prettiest in the display window, that's what we want. That isn't necessarily the best thing, but that's what we want to do. That's what we'll spend our big money on. Why do you think cars like Lamborghini and Maserati, why do you think people want to buy those cars? Because they're good cars? That's a hot one. I wouldn't drive a Lamborghini to the dump. Because it's Italian. It's foreign. It's beautiful. It's this, it's that, it's something else. As an automobile, as the function that it was constructed for, to take you from point A to point B, I'd rather be on a go-ped. Same thing with a Maserati. And let's be honest, Jaguar. I don't care if Ford does own them. I'm kidding about Jaguar. But you see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean, just because money doesn't mean you're getting the best. And you better think long and hard. You take your kid out of a public school, put him into a private school because you think. Now, the schools our kids are in are fantastic. Why do I say that? Because the administrations of both of those schools are probably listening right now. Privately, if I meet you at a party, I'll let you know what I really think. But anyway, no, the high school's fantastic. The grade school, it's okay. But even to take your kid and put him into a private school, be my guest. Just do me a favor, okay? Don't go bellyaching to me if somebody takes a piece of knotted rope and ties them to a stock at the high noon and flays the skin off their back, because that's the corporal punishment policy that they have. I want to take a school and they kick the hell out of the kids, man, and really teach them something. Okay, great. This school happens to have Principal Bly will be here in just a moment. They'll tie your kid to the mast at high noon, man, tie him to the highest yard arm, flay the skin off of his back, 40 lashes, and then recess. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want? It's what you want. What do you mean you want your kid to learn? Learn what? Math and reading and writing and arithmetic and everything else. I mean, you got so many parents who are trying to control the curriculum of these schools. Oh, well, I've said enough. I don't know why I'm bitter. You want to know why I'm bitter? Because I never went to college, okay? All right, now you know the problem. I didn't have any education. I'm stupid. I didn't go to college. I went to a year and a half. I dropped out. I'm an idiot. And as a matter of fact, if you want to know the honest truth, there's no one in my family with a college degree. No one. And that's going back at least three generations. Maybe next time at bat, oops, sorry, I had a vasectomy. Oh, well. There's no Henrys with college degrees. Just big fat mouths. That's all we got. So I see people going off to school and learning and having fun and unlocking lockers and playing football and reading books without moving their lips. I get jealous, sure. I see a kid sitting there reading a book when he's not moving his lips. He's not running his finger along the lines and moving his lips with Coke bottle lens glasses like me. I feel a twinge of regret and sadness that isn't me. Okay, my folks said that education was very important, but when it came time for me to go to college, they didn't have enough money to send me to Harvard. I said, screw that, and I'm not going. They said, well, we have enough for UCLA. I said, how dare you? How dare you? But, Philip, we can send you to UCLA. It's Harvard or nothing. Well, you're an idiot. You couldn't get in. I thought, no, I'm not an idiot. It's the money. That's what it is, the money. Stanford, Harvard. I told them there were three schools, Stanford, Harvard, and Duke. They said, why do you want to go to Harvard? Because I heard of it. Why do you want to go to Stanford? I think Jim Plunkett went there. Why do you want to go to Duke? I don't know. They just said that's a pretty good school. I frankly don't want to go to a school named Duke. Okay, if you don't mind, all right? It's still, as far as I'm concerned, it's borderline gay, but what do I know? Just it's enough that Wayne was called Duke, okay? Don't be calling me Duke. This is 2001. John Wayne, you could call him Duke, and he'd smile and maybe even buy you a drink. Call me Duke. Now we got trouble. Call anybody Duke. Do you realize how much changes in 40 years? You could call John Wayne Duke 40 years ago. He'd buy you a drink. Call any heterosexual man today Duke, and police arrive. Sandbags go up. Oh, God. I feel better. Mike says he's got a friend who changed his name to Duke. You used to have a friend who changed his name to Duke. Okay, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. In case you want to know what I was just doing there, I was hyperventilating. Feels good.
It's good.
It's Phil Henry Show. Bill Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. So I've figured out this Vatican death penalty thing. Apparently they haven't killed anybody in the Vatican under the death penalty law since the 19th century. Pope Pius IX used to have hangings in the square there in the Vatican, and they don't have that anymore. But they got rid of the language in their constitution. And is that like a country, the Vatican? It's a place. It's a country. It's like the District of Columbia of Italy or something, isn't it? In other words, isn't it not under the Italian, the aegis of the Italian government, but they have to respect a certain independence there? And that's fine. I mean, it's their country. They can do whatever they want. I've never been there. We want to go to Italy someday. My father, you know, raved about it because he was there during World War II. He just loved the hell out of Italy. Everybody that ever, has ever been to Italy loves it. I don't know of one person that ever went to Italy and hated it. And so that's why I want to go. I want to come back with all kinds of horrible stories about it. Just to say that I'm kidding. I want to go somewhere in Europe that I like. Just anywhere at this point. Spain. We're going to go to Spain this summer. And before you start telling me that, oh, gee, aren't you rich, Phil? You get to run off to Europe. Anybody can afford to go to Spain. Anybody can afford to go anywhere in the world these days. Anyone can afford to go anywhere in the world. You can get tickets to anywhere for 14 cents. You look in the back of those travel magazines and there's tickets. People don't go anywhere because they don't want to go anywhere, man. Not because they can't afford it. Anyway, I want to go somewhere over there that I dig. I figure I'm going to have to go to like former comet Latvia or something before I really find people that I can relate to, because France wasn't it. I don't mind Britain. Those are nice people. They're a little snooty, a little haughty. They think they still got an empire. I hate to break it to you. You don't. But who am I to say? They're okay. You know, you can go in, order yourself a screwdriver, and a guy will come off with a wisecrack like, this is an electrical shop, sir. Okay, give me a vodka and orange juice. You know, and that's a nice place. And the, but Italy, everybody, have you been there? You know, I got this friend in Miami, used to be a friend of mine. This friend of mine goes down to Rome? And I don't talk to the guy anymore because I don't live in Miami. Anyway, he seems to like the place a lot. And then there's friends of mine who go to Barcelona and Spain, and my wife speaks Spanish. That might be fun. It's either that or I was thinking about going to the new California Adventure down near Disneyland. I don't know which. It's either Spain or the Mall of America. Can you guys? God, man, I'm having a hard time with that one. I want to either do that or I'd like to go to Atlantis in the Bahamas. You know, I had a chance to go climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and stay at a real hunting lodge with zebra skins on the wall and a, you know, Bantu warriors doing dances in the dark as the ashes of a bonfire light up the Serengeti sky at night. But instead, the Alamo, and they've got a really neat walk, you know, there's a mall there. I think I'll go there. But anyway, we're going to go to Mexico in about a week, and I had to scam all kinds of crap, man. I called up all the airlines. I told them that I was Rush Limbaugh, and they believed it, so I got first class everything. It's going to be great. They don't know what he looks like down there. I got first class at the Ritz in Cancun. I said I was Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and they said, yes, Dr. Schlesinger, fine. And I said, great. So, you know, I said, you realize I'm a man, right? Oh, yeah, well, we don't know. I mean, we've heard of you. So I just call up and, you know, tell them who I am, and I got the thing. And so Maria and I are going to have a really good time, I hope. I don't know. Mexico, I love to go to because it's close to America, but you're not in America. In other words, what happens when I go to Mexico, you're very close to where you live. You're just over the border, but you don't have to put up with the anal retentive, dull, and increasingly boring attitude of America, which is, would you put that cigarette out, please? And all of the attendant, all of the attendant attitudes that sort of, that are tributaries off of that. You know, America is basically, would you put the cigarette out? You know, just give me a break over here. I don't want that. I'm going to go out of the country. I'm going to go down there. I saw traffic. It looks fun. Because you can go down there. You can sit at a restaurant. Not that I smoke anymore, but hey, maybe I want to light up a big cigar. And light one up, and the first American looks at you and says, would you put that out? I said, no, I'm not going to put it out. The owner of the bar comes over and tells you to put it out. Maybe then I'll put it out. What are you going to do about it? You know, and that's basically it. And if you want to go in the pool in a thong, and, you know, that's, of course, I'm dying to do that. No, but I don't know. Whatever you want to do. It's just, even Hawaii, and it's one of the reasons why I can't go to Hawaii anymore. If you go to Hawaii, you're still in America. People say, oh, it's just so magical in Hawaii. No, it ain't. It ain't magical in Hawaii. It's America in Hawaii. That's what it is. It looks nice, but then you can come down off the mountain, and there it is, Interstate 1 or whatever, and you know where you are. Well, don't you like your country? Yes, I do, but there is a definite... there's a definite set of blinders that I have to put on while I live here. There is a real attitude control that you have to slip into when you live in the United States. You may think it's free, and I'm not saying that it's not, but there is a very definite persona that one has to inhabit to live here and to have fun here. And it's have fun within these limits. Wear a helmet when you go on your go-ped. Put on your seatbelt and a lot of laws that don't make any... Why? You know, we don't know. To this day, no normal man, no human being. There isn't a scientist. They've talked to doctors around the world. UNICEF is taking up the question, why is it exactly we have a helmet law? There's no answer. It's a secret. It's a mystery. Stephen Hawking is bleeding from the nose trying to figure the helmet law. You know, it's like the black hole. Is there life in outer space? Is there really an Andromeda belt that will, you know, is there some kind of a magnetic belt beyond our solar system? And, oh, yeah, why do we have a helmet law? Why? I'll tell you why we have a helmet law. It's because some jive ass, I don't know who, some guy in the state legislature, trumped up some baloney about how motorcyclists cost us so much money in emergency rooms. That's a lie. It's always been a lie. It was never proved. It was sold to the people of California and other states as the facts, as the truth. It's never been proved. It's a bunch of baloney. But to this day, there are people on motorcycles that got to wear helmets. Why is this? To protect themselves from themselves. They're not going to hurt anybody. What, some guy got to fly off his bike, go through the windshield of your car, and kill you? Yeah, that happens a lot. See, when a human being flies off a motorcycle, he becomes like a javelin. He just stick right in your chest. Dead for you. You're impaled by a guy off a Harley. It happens all the time. And, of course, seatbelts. This is another great one. And I only bring this. I'm not going to try to fight those wars all over again. Those wars have been fought and lost. Okay? Those are battles. The war has not been lost. The war will never be lost. But those are battles that have been fought and lost. I'm not going to fight those. All I'm telling you is, that's the kind of attitude I got going down over here. I'm going to go someplace for 2 weeks where I don't have to live with that. Oh, sure, they torture political prisoners down there, but what has that got to do with me? Sure, they take a guy who is carting maybe an ounce of marijuana and put him in shackles and start burning coconut shells under his scrotum. That's got nothing to do with my life. Sorry to hear about it. Just so long as I can't hear the screams from my palatial veranda. What do you want me to do? You want me to fight all the battles? I mean, I'm going down there. I'm going to have myself a drink and do what you need to do with all those rebel Indians in the South. It's just, I'm an American. I love Mexico. So long as it's, you know, I'm not in one of their jails. Okay, 1-800, and I can't guarantee that won't be the case after next week. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.